Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome back to Hurting to Healing. I hope you're all doing well tonight. I'm doing okay. I feel a little out of sorts. I don't know why, but thought I'd share that with you. So let's see. Let me get past my jitters, my ums, and my so's, and all those things. It'll take me a while to get out of my system. Yeah, there was one right there. So if you joined us last week, we talked about, our title was, Who Do You Pray To? And there's something that I want to reference to in regards to that once we get going. And then we will get into, should I go back to the Kingdom Hall? So that's our topic tonight. Should I go back to the Kingdom Hall? But before we do that, should we pray first, or should we go over the housekeeping things first? Let's pray first, because I, like I said, I'm a little out of sorts, so Prayer can always help with that. And actually, I want to, our prayer tonight is going to be out of Psalms. It's going to be Psalms chapter 5. And I hope that you find comfort in this tonight as well. And perhaps go back to it later on today or tomorrow or in the week ahead. So this is our prayer tonight. And this is David. And he's crying out to God. He's calling out to him. He's praying. And that's what we talked about last week. Who do we pray to? And I read this, and this is a prayer that I've prayed, and in the past I've mentioned before that if you have a hard time praying, pray scripture. And also when you pray scripture, it's very powerful. Very powerful against the enemy. It's very powerful for your life and for your soul. Praying God's word is a very powerful thing. So that's what we're gonna do tonight. So if you have your Bible by you, you can pull it out and follow along. If not, just close your eyes and listen to these words. And the translation that I'm reading out of is the New Living Translation, the NLT. So this is our prayer tonight. Oh Lord, hear me as I pray. Pay attention to my groaning. Listen to my cry for help, my King and my God. For I will never pray to anyone but you. Listen to my voice in the morning, Lord. Each morning I bring my request to you and wait expectantly. Oh God, you take no pleasure in wickedness. You cannot tolerate the slightest sin. Therefore, the proud will not be allowed to stand in your presence, for you hate all who do evil. You will destroy those who tell lies. The Lord detests murderers and deceivers. Because of your unfailing love, I can enter your house. With deepest awe, I will worship at your temple. Lead me in the right path, O Lord, or my enemies will conquer me. Tell me clearly what to do and show me which way to turn. My enemies cannot speak one truthful word. Their deepest desire is to destroy others. Their talk is foul, like the stench from an open grave. Their speech is filled with flattery. O God, declare them guilty. Let them be caught in their own traps. Drive them away because of their many sins, for they rebel against you. But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them sing joyful praises forever. Protect them, so all who love your name may be filled with joy. For you bless the godly, O Lord, surrounding them with your shield of love. So that's our prayer tonight, that God would hear us, that we would know that we can enter into his house. And worship him, and we can ask him to tell us clearly what to do and show us which way to turn. And I think that's good for tonight, to know, to answer the question that I'm sure each of us have always or have asked at one time or another. So that was Psalm chapter 5, if you want to take a look at that later. So I want to say welcome to you this evening. Or morning, if you listen to this later on podcast or afternoon. And if this is your first time here, welcome. I hope that you find this to be a place of safety, and knowing that I am not only here for you, but there's lots of people that are here for you. Lots of people that are praying for you. There are people that contribute in so many different ways to be able to get this aired to you. So know that you're not alone. And this is a place that, you know, if you are feeling discouraged and you need strength, I pray that you can find strength through God's word and what we share here. Time welcome. If you're returning, maybe it's been a while, and you're popping back in to see what's going on, welcome back. And those that are so faithful in tuning in each week or every 2 weeks, I say thank you, always. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for coming back to this place and allowing God to speak to your spirit and things like that, your words that I get through email are very encouraging. So thank you for that. I think I mentioned that last week. We all need encouragement, and I need it too. So thank you for that. I appreciate it. Now, let's see. If you're new here, and just a reminder for everyone else, if you want to jump in at any time tonight, I don't know if we'll fill up the full hour and a half or we can go as much as 2 hours, but we'll go however long we need to go. And some nights might be shorter, some might be a little bit longer, but just so you know that. But at any point, if you want to say anything, just hit number one on your phone, and that will unmute you, and then I will identify you by the last four digits of your phone number, and we can talk. And if you're streaming via the internet and you want to say something, you can pick up the phone and call, and that number is 347-934-0379. And as always, anytime you want to get a hold of me, you can find me here on the second and fourth Tuesday of each month. And you can also contact me through email, which is genesis5020m@gmail.com. And you can also reach me by telephone, not this line, but a different line. And that is 719-355-7164. And that's extension 284. And you can get a hold of me on Mondays from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. That's Central Time, and Thursday and Friday evenings from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. And I want to make mention, too, the telephone number that you can reach me at, the one that I just gave you, that phone number is provided to me so graciously from 4witness.org. If you go to 4witness.org, Christy Darlington is the one who holds that website, along with forjehovah.org, along with formormon.org. And if you've listened in the past, you know that that's the connection that I have there of how this got started. And I want to make mention, Christy had sent me an email, and in addition to, you can find each of these shows archived there if you go to forwitness.org. And what she is doing also, in particular, like last week's episode was Who Do You Pray To? There's additional resources that she has linked to the show. Other topics like, should Christians use the divine name Jehovah in prayer? Should we pray directly to Jesus? If we are encouraged to pray to Jesus, when should we pray to the Father? Another resource topic was, why do Christians emphasize Jesus more than Jehovah? So go there. There's a wealth of information on her website/websites, which I think will help in addition to what we're doing here. You know, each of us has the things that we're passionate about doing, or some want to say they're called to doing. Christy is that person who can write and do research and pick apart the doctrinal things. That's really her talent and her gifting, and she uses it. So go there, and for additional resources, read what's there. You'll find just about anything. And then in regards to tonight's show, should I go back to the Kingdom Hall? She let me know that she's going to link to this show some subheadings that start with, I'm thinking of going back to Jehovah's Witnesses. how to get over the pain of losing your family in Jehovah's Witnesses and being afraid to leave the Jehovah's Witnesses. What if the Jehovah's Witnesses are right? So those are some of the things we're going to actually, you know, touch on here tonight. But then in addition, you can head to those resources, read some more, get some more insight. You know, there's other people's testimonies and stories that are there. So when I say, you know, there is a lot of people, again, that go into contributing and helping in so many ways to what's offered now and just all the time. So when we say you're not alone, you aren't. I want you to know that there's many places to go and get information. And I've mentioned in the past, there's the Gus does on Wednesday nights a Bible study, and then he is also on air on Saturdays as well through the Healing X Outreach. So everybody just coming together to do what they feel called and led to do. And so it isn't just one, it's a we all come together and try to contribute to what we can and what we feel led to do. So go check those resources out. I think they will be beneficial to you. So I think that's all my housekeeping things. So tonight, like I said, I don't know how long our show will take tonight. I do actually have at some point a message, a recorded message, a portion of it from my church that I attend from my pastor, Pastor Mike. And I'm hoping to play that for you tonight. In the past, we've had, you know, technical difficulties, so it may not play. And if it doesn't, well, I can maybe give you the gist of the message. And I noticed, too, when I the message uploaded okay into Blog Talk Radio, but when I went to look at it this evening, I had condensed the message down to about 18 minutes because that was the part that I wanted you to hear. But when I looked here in the audio clips, it's showing that it's 30 minutes. So I'm not sure what we're going to get because I couldn't play it once I was in here for some reason. So we'll see. If we get to that point and it doesn't play, well, we don't have it. And if it does play, we might get 30 minutes or we might get the 18 minutes. So just a little FYI on all of that. So like I said, you can never predict these technical things, and I'm not very up and sharp on that kind of stuff. So when we get to that, we'll get to that. But before we get to that, should I go back to the Kingdom Hall? Now, I could, and some may say that if I gave you a direct no, that would probably or could potentially be an insensitive answer and just go, no. And there was the part of me that thought of, well, should I go back to the Kingdom Hall? I could say, nope, and we're done for the night. But that wouldn't be fair either. And if anything, like I said, I think that even myself, my own opinion would be, well, that's kind of insensitive. And, you know, because that's a question that we have all asked. And perhaps maybe we've asked it even more than once. And we may have even done it more than once, actually gone back to the Kingdom Hall. And so there's a lot of feelings. There's a lot of emotions that come tangled up in that question. And as I was thinking about, should I go back to the Kingdom Hall, the first thing that came to mind was the memorial service. And we know that will be coming up again soon. I don't know which day that it is, but it'll be coming up soon because it's to memorialize in memory of Jesus's death. And, you know, when I let's see, I was disfellowshipped when I was 18. And so I did go a few times back to the memorial after I was disfellowshipped. And, you know, why is it that we do that? Well, I know for myself, I did it because I wanted to please my mom. I wanted to make her happy. And I remember that tug in my heart, but also the wrestle of, I knew the stares and the looks that I would get when I went back, but I was willing to put up with that. I was willing to deal with that for the sake of making my mom happy. And, you know, I remember, you know, getting up to, you know, go to the bathroom kind of thing, going to the back, and people would, you know, let out a big, like, oh, and try not to touch me as they're walking by. And but then I'd also get some that would say, you know, I know I'm not supposed to say hi to you, you know, but hi. And usually by the end of the memorial, I would usually have an elder that would come up to me after and say, you know, you should seriously think about coming back. And I knew all that going into it, but like I said, I was willing to deal with that. I was willing to put up with that for the sake of making my mom, you know, happy. And but I remember also leaving, you know, the memorial and feeling regret and disappointment. It was such a high when I was there because I knew I was making my mom happy. But yet when I would leave, I would be so mad at myself. I would be so angry at myself of what I was doing to my mom. I was manipulating and playing with her feelings and her emotions, and that wasn't right. And I knew I was doing that. And I was disappointed. I was disgusted in myself that I would even do that. And, you know, I remember, you know, then there were years that I didn't go back to the memorial. And then I remember after I had chosen to follow Christ and be a Christ follower, one of my brothers, my second oldest brother, who is still a Jehovah's Witness, he had come over and said, you know, I know Mom gave you an invitation to come to the memorial, and you haven't come in a while, and I want to know if you're going to be going. You really should go and make Mom happy. And I remember being at a place, at a solid place, saying, no, I will not be going this year. And I'm not going to go to that place again. And it was hard having that conversation with him because I was letting him down. I hadn't, other than my mom giving me that invitation, I hadn't seen her in a while. And so those were the times when I think about going back to the Kingdom Hall. It was in those moments. It was in those returning and going to the memorial. And, you know, I jumped on JW.org to see what it had to say about the memorial this year. And it says, you are warmly invited to meet with us to observe the anniversary of Jesus' death. You can, and I thought, you can observe, but you are not able to partake. And I remember that observance time, observing to see which one of the members in our Kingdom Hall that was one of the 144,000 observing to watch her partake. And when I read this, I thought, warmly invited, perhaps. Maybe if you are a newcomer for the first time, you would be warmly invited to come and meet with them. But as a disfellowshipped person returning back to the Kingdom Hall, I know I wouldn't be warmly, you know, invited to go back. So, you know, only each of us individually can answer, you know, why it is we go back, if you've actually gone back. You know, why do we do it? Why, you know, what is it? And I think, you know, for me, for myself, I was trying to get through, work through, you know, you hear that saying, you know, why can't you just get over it? I'm not talking about getting over it. And actually, that's something we're going to address at a later date, too. One of our shows is going to be dedicated to those stinging words of why can't you just get over it? But I'm not sure exactly when we're going to do that, but just a FYI. But anyway, we're trying to get through the pain of losing our family. We're trying to get through the pain of losing friends. The thing is when you are trying to get through something, I believe that means we have to end up making some different choices, and we have to end up making some changes in our lives as we work through some of these things. So when I had to make a choice at that one point of saying to my brother, no, I am not going to be going this year, that was a choice I made, and it changed things. It was a big change for my family, because there was that expected for a few years after, oh, well, at least Melissa will come to the memorial, you know, any little bit we can get. And, you know, again, why is it that we go back? For me, it was to see any little glimpse of my family that I could, to see my brother, to see my sister-in-law, to see my nieces. You know, I longed for that because it was just, you know, cut off. And, you know, I get through one of these episodes without tearing up, but my goodness, I went to be able to stand next to my mom while she sang her kingdom melodies. And, you know, when you pray, yeah, I wanted to have that moment where my mom would reach over and hold my hand during prayer. You long for that. So why do we go back to the kingdom hall? I don't know what your reasons may be, but I can tell you those were the reasons I went back. They weren't because I wanted to be a Jehovah's Witness again. That wasn't it. I went back because I felt like maybe there was some hope, even if it was a twisted and manufactured hope that maybe that would be the year that they would just accept me for who I am, and maybe I wouldn't have to work my way back into being a Jehovah's Witness, that there was this, again, twisted hope that maybe an elder would come up and say, you know what, Melissa, you're not disfellowshipped anymore, and you're good to go, and you're in good standing, and why don't you just start coming back? Because the work that it would take to get myself back in good standing, I didn't want to do it. But yet I was willing to take a, you know, get out of jail free card, I guess. And, you know, so again, it was a hope that maybe they would just accept me maybe that year. I know for me, when I showed up at the memorial, it bought me a little bit more time afterwards with my family. It meant maybe a couple more phone calls from my mom. It would be an invite back to the house for dinner. There, you know, and of course, in and amongst, you know, going to, you know, to the house for dinners, there was always the persuasion of trying to get me to come back. And, you know, Melissa, this would be a good time for you to come back now. It's been too long, you know. But again, I was willing to deal with, I was willing to put up with, just for the sake of having maybe a little bit more time with family, and that's why I would do it. And you know, it's amazing what we are willing to deal with and put up with, willing to, you know, just take whatever it is that we can get, because you're at a place where you feel like you have nothing, and you are living out your life fully believing that you have nothing. So you'll take just about anything. And then what comes along with that is that continual voice in your head. For me, I don't know about you, but for me it was every minute of, you know, maybe they are right and maybe I am wrong. So maybe I should go back to the Kingdom Hall. That continual torment was another thing that was just always pounding, you know, in my head. And, you know, I remember being at that place going, you know, maybe I should go back because I really have nowhere else to go. I can't go to a church for all the fears that I was ever told about church. You know, for me, I don't know about you, but the lightning bolt that would strike me or the fire that would consume me, and even just all the I don't know, cruel things that were said, you know, you don't go to a church, all they ever want is your money, you know, don't go there. You know, all those things that just kept me from being just numb and paralyzed of which way do I go? Which side do I go on? Do I go back to the Kingdom Hall? And going to a church was just, you know, no, can't do that. And then, you know, what about the biggest thing of trust? You know, I can't trust anyone. So where do I go? I've been told to not trust the church or people in the church. So where do I go? And those that I did trust, that trust is now broken. So what do you do? So you're feeling compelled to do something, but you don't know which path to take. And the thing was, is I came to a place where I knew what I would have to do. I knew what I would need to do in order to belong back into the Kingdom Hall again. And that didn't sit well with me. And, you know, everyone has an opinion. If you ask, you know, we don't have a problem, you know, telling people our opinions and on anything at hand. But, you know, regarding this, should I go back? The should I or shouldn't I do this? You know, my direct answer, I guess my opinion is no. No, you should not go back to the Kingdom Hall. Now, am I saying you have to listen to me and what I tell you to do? No. No, not at all. That's a question that you you have to answer. And but I do want to pose some questions and perhaps some thoughts. And I think that once I go through some of these, I think that you will be able to answer for yourself whether or not that is something you should do. And where I want to go with this is we all are very familiar with, if you are disfellowshipped or even if you're not, maybe you walked away, but no matter what, no matter where you're at as maybe an active Jehovah's Witness or whatever, or disfellowshipped, we all know 1 Corinthians chapter 5. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11, we were always told, based off of the, well, I guess out of the New World Translation, it was always quit mixing in company with anyone called a brother who is in, and then the whole list of things that are given as to who we shouldn't be associating with. And then finally in verse 13, of 1 Corinthians 5, remove the wicked person from among yourselves. So if you are one of those disfellowshipped people and you are put out, you know what you're going to endure, what you're going to have to deal with. So we all know that shunning takes place, and you know what it feels like, you know what it looks like, and for most of us, we also knew how to do it to someone else. And so that comes with the territory of, should I go back to the Kingdom Hall? Are you going to be okay with the shunning that's going to take place even when someone is face-to-face with you? Are you going to be okay with that? And let me ask you another question. Do you want to, if you go back to the Kingdom Hall, do you want to be under the control and manipulation over those that preside over you? Are you willing to go back and submit to that again? Because you know what that is. You know what that entails. If you go back to the Kingdom Hall, let me ask you, do you want to live your life fully accepted or partially accepted? Do you want to be fully loved or loved only in part? And I know that you know the answers to those questions. Do you always want to be looked at as the one that was disfellowshipped, trying to make your way back? Can you live the rest of your life under that pressure, under that type of accusation, those types of feelings? Are you content? Would you be content if you went back to the Kingdom Hall with others telling you what the Bible says and what your future holds, instead of you discovering it for yourself? Do you belong? Do you know 100% that you will be fully accepted when you return back to the Kingdom Hall? Can you be fully accepted after all you've said and done? Can you? Will you? Do you want to be under the care of individuals that require you to submit your work month after month and still know that you're not measuring up, that you're not good enough? Can you and will you submit from this day forward to the rules and demands that are set before you? Basically, what I'm challenging you with is, are you okay with living with guilt from this day forward? Guilt is real. The majority of us, the majority of people, we tend to be ruled and dictated by our guilt. And guilt plays a prominent role in our lives under the surface, something that people can't see, something we hide and something that we try to shake off the time. And the thing is that guilt, when you return, you are going to be behind a magnifying glass by some, and you're going to be looked at through a telescope by others. And you will be deemed guilty, and you will forever carry that with you. And just when you think that maybe, just maybe, you're in right standing, or maybe you've mastered it, no. Not only will the enemy, but the people will give you a very fresh reminder of what you've done. You were one of those that was disfellowshipped. Oh, watch out for her. Watch out for him, for he or she is weak, for he or she has fallen. You would have to be with guilt, having to have guilt be your constant companion and have to learn how to deal with it if you go back to the Kingdom Hall. The thing is when you sin, when you fall short, and yet you go before those that you need to go before, and have a repentant heart, and then told, no, you don't, that you truly aren't sorry for the wrong that you've done, you will stand there guilty. You will stand there condemned. Is that what you want for the rest of your life? Are you willing to settle for that for the rest of your life? Because I believe that if I go back to the Kingdom Hall, I will encounter every single one of those things that I've laid out before you. I will be loved only in part, not in whole. I will be accepted in part and not in whole. That is not a life that I want you to live, nor is it a life that Christ came and died for you to live a life in part. You know, this is not what it's supposed to look like or be like. This is not how your life is supposed to look. You should not have to be carrying around that chain at all. But you will. You will be chained if you go back to the Kingdom Hall. You know, I had a problem even as I was trying to put some things together, even typing out the words and even saying the words Kingdom Hall. And why? Because they have created the Jehovah's Witness organization. They have created their own kingdom, and it doesn't involve Jesus. The thing is I thought about, you know what, making it through Armageddon, and you know what, I still don't get to see him. Because why? I'm not part of the chosen few that get to go and be with him. See, you still don't get to see him. Their kingdom is more important and more valuable than his kingdom, than Jesus's kingdom. And so when I say Kingdom Hall now, it doesn't sit right with me. It shouldn't sit right with me, with you. I really don't. That would be the last thing I'd want you to do, because I don't want you to live under those lists of things that you're going to have to endure. Who wants to live a life with nothing but being just oppressed of guilt and shame? Even shame of things that were done to you that you never even had a part in, or a part in saying, you know, no, you know, don't do this to me. I think of so many of us that have been abused sexually, abused verbally, emotionally, to sit under the shame of, well, you could have done something different, or are you sure you didn't do anything to have this happen to you? No one should ever have to live under that type of shame. But you know what? Those are the things, if you go back to the Kingdom Hall, that you will live under. And the thing is then you get to a point of, I was thinking about And with, you know, Easter coming up, I was thinking about Jesus on the cross and the two other men that were on the cross, and the one where he is crying out the one's taunting, you know, Jesus, and then the other one comes in and says, you know, Jesus, remember me? Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus, you know, says to him, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. And that part, Jesus, remember me. You know, we look at that, and I don't know how when you look at it, but I know I've always looked at it as, Jesus, remember me? Will you maybe kind of remember me? But this time I looked at it a little different, like, Jesus, do you remember me? Do you remember? Do you know what I've gone through? Do you know what I've been through? Will you remember me? And Jesus says, yeah, I remember you. I know you. He does. He knows who you are. He knows you by name, and he made you. And I wish that you could see God in all his glory, in all his glory, in all his purity, in all his truth. I want you to see God for who he is and not what we were told. I don't want you to go back to the kingdom hall, because you are not going to have the trueness, the fullness, the purity of who he really is. See, I wish for you to see his kingdom, Jesus' kingdom. His kingdom reigns now and can reign in your heart here and now in your life. And so I wish that you could see and that you desire to see God in how holy he is and how real he is and just the comforter that he truly is, and not the God who's constantly pointing a finger at you. Yes, judge. Yes, he is judge, but not condemner, not the one that will sit in and be critical and criticize you and have disapproval in you. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the judge who is the advocate for the unrighteousness that has happened in your life. The judge who holds us accountable in love and covers and extends his judgment to us in his grace. See, that's what's on the other side. That's what you're not going to see. That's what you're not going to know. That's what you're not going to experience should you go back to the kingdom hall. See, when we mess up, when we sin, when we fall short, there's forgiveness. Forgiveness because of what Christ did for us. He died for us to save us from our sin. Not to stand there condemned and carrying guilt and have that sin and that wrong being looked at behind a magnifying glass or through a telescope. That's not what it's about. We together, we as followers of Christ Jesus, being born again, accepting Christ Jesus, being a Christian, there's all these, you know, words that we use. It simply comes down to, am I going to follow Christ Jesus? Am a follower. That's what it is. That's what a Christian is. Am I going to now follow Christ Jesus? And when we do that, when we say, yes, Lord, you know, I'm a sinner and I'm in need of a Savior, and he forgives us because of what he did on the cross, we, as believers in Christ Jesus, then we are able, and what we are to do is we are to come alongside and help one another out, not point a finger, not go, oh, well, that person over there, you know, she was disfellowshipped for that, and now we can't talk to her for so long because, you know, she's working her way back up into good standing. No. No, that is not what is supposed to happen. We are to love, we are to accept, we are to forgive, so that we can become well again. So we can just be well and be healed in and through Christ and be encouraged to be told, you're not alone. You know, I'm going to have my day. We all have our days. If you go through one day going, yeah, I'm good, I didn't sin, well, Scripture tells us, yes, you are. We sin. We are sinners. That's what we are. That's what we do. But when you come to know Christ and he comes and he lives in you and the Holy Spirit is within you, he guides and directs and he reveals. But it's never left with leaving you on the side and tossing you aside and saying, well, I'm not going to talk to you for a while until you get your act together. Because that's what it feels like. Do we do that to our kids? When I discipline my kids, do I toss them to the side and say, you know what? Yeah, they might be grounded for a week from, from their electronics or their TV or whatever it is, but it doesn't mean I don't talk to them. Because why? I need to be there to uplift them and encourage them and love on them. Throw someone away like trash. Not tell someone that they have an unrepentive heart. Like I said earlier, who are we to say that about anybody? I can't see your heart. I don't know what goes on in your heart. That's between you and God. When we do that, when we point a finger and say that someone doesn't have a repentive heart, we're judging. And who are we to judge? We have no place to judge. Again, only God knows, and God sees the heart. He's the one. He's the one that will deal with us. He will be the one that will judge us. We are here to love one another, to uplift one another, and to encourage one another. That's what we're here for. That's what we're supposed to do. I want to read to you a blog that I wrote quite a few years back. I think maybe it was in 2011. And it was dealing with this, what we're talking about. Should I go back to the Kingdom Hall? And I had entitled it, Is the Grass Greener? And I got some definitions in here as well. And I'm going to reference to artificial turf. And then the greener side is obviously the true true grass, the true green grass. So I'm going to read it to you, and maybe, hopefully, maybe it'll speak to you just a little bit here tonight. So, is the grass greener? Is the grass really greener on the other side? Depends where you're standing. If you're anything like me, there has been, on more than one occasion, that time that you looked over to the other side and asked, is the grass really greener over there on the other side? The greener grass. You wanted to see it up close. You wanted to touch it. You wanted it for your own. I don't know what your greener is. Maybe it's to celebrate holidays and birthdays. Maybe it was to have a social life outside of the organization. Maybe it was to have a career. For me, the greener has always been the desire to get an education. For me, it was to be able to think for myself. For me, it was to have some dignity. For me, it was to see if I had any value or purpose outside of the organization. For me, most of all, I wanted answers. Answers to the truth. Contemplating the greener side, the other side, I decided to jump. All too many times, I only got so far. The picket fence snagged me a time or two, and I never made it over fully. It was easier in some sense and in some ways just to stay where I was at. I knew the consequences if I did jump and made it to the other side and stayed. The loss of my family, my friends, the loss of my life altogether, the shunning, the rejection, being ostracized, the looks, the price is high. I know. I was told, and quite honestly, I thought I was on the real thing, in the real thing, in the truth. Fake? No way. Not real? No way. Not the truth? Whatever. I was. However, according to Wikipedia, artificial turf. Artificial turf is a surface manufactured from synthetic fibers made to look like natural grass. Merriam-Webster Dictionary tells me synthetic is devised, it's arranged, or fabricated for special situations to imitate or replace usual realities. I discovered I was on artificial turf. The main reason artificial turf is used is because of maintenance. Artificial turf resists heavy use and requires no irrigation or trimming. Domed. Artificial turf is usually domed. It's covered. And partially covered, stadiums may require artificial turf because of the difficulty of getting grass enough sunlight to stay healthy. But artificial turf does have its downside: limited life, toxic chemicals from infill, and some heightened health and safety concerns. Artificial turf resists heavy use. I was resisted at every turn. Every question I asked, every answer I questioned, resisted. I felt heavily used. All I did was never enough. I couldn't study enough, witness enough, be good enough. It never seemed I could knock on enough doors. That's artificial turf. The greener side? It is by grace I have been saved through faith and not the result of my works. Artificial turf requires no irrigation or trimming. No water, no lifelines, no growth, no life outside the organization. I felt manufactured. The greener side, Jesus takes care of me if I remain in him and him in me. I will produce fruit, and every branch that doesn't, he prunes me so that I will produce even more with his help. Places domed and covered may require artificial turf because of the difficulty of getting grass enough sunlight to stay healthy. Covered and secluded, cut off from the outside world, I had great difficulty getting enough sunlight to stay healthy. The light of the world. As a Jehovah's Witness, Christ was denied and stripped of his deity. Little did I know I needed the sun to stay healthy. The greener side, I didn't need to fear the Son of God. I could believe in him fully. I could believe in who he says he is. He wouldn't judge me because of my failures. He came to save me. If I chose to not believe in him, I already stood judged for not believing in God's one and only Son, not man. But artificial turf does have its downside: limited life. My life was limited on that turf. I didn't know the truth, the plan God had for me. The greener side, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Artificial turf does have toxic chemicals from infill. The toxic chemicals, a daily life in lies, manipulation and judgment, false prophets and teachers, and overabundance in my everyday life. The greener side, beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep but are really vicious wolves. You can identify them by their fruit, that is, by the way they act. But there were also false prophets among the people among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who brought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. So my life on the turf was devised, arranged, and fabricated for special situations to imitate truth and replace all the usual realities of life and truth. There was a day I was determined, more so than all others. I jumped that fence. Sure, I got snagged. Oh, sure, I fell again. The tears, the scratches, I have the scars to show it. But I made it to the other side. I found out the grass is greener on the other side, and I love it here. So I say to you, jump. So that was way back when. And, you know, it's interesting how God is just allowing this time, this this avenue, this outlet to be able to share with you those wrestles that I went through years ago that you may be going through right now. Or maybe it brings you back to a place, recalling those times that you felt and know that you've been able to overcome and be at a place where you can share those things with others and who are going through that wrestle. And so I hope maybe that gives you a little bit of encouragement or looking at things a little differently. And like I said, I do have a message for you as well that I'm going to try to play. I hope that it works. And the reason why I want to share this message with you, I've said a couple shows ago, and we were talking about baptism and how I was sitting at church watching the baptism, wishing that you could see it if you're someone that hasn't ventured into a church, that it was such a beautiful thing that I wish that you could have seen it and been a part of it, to see really truly what an honorable baptism unto the Lord is like, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, again, that's why I want to bring you this message tonight, if I can get it to play. But I want to, the greener side, you know, for some, they may say, well, and I'm just going to equate this to church, going into a church. I know that's not an easy thing to do. And for several of us, we've had to go to different churches to find the right one. And I suggest that you do that. And there should be some questions that you should ask as well when going into a church. And the thing is I think sometimes the greater reality, you know, I mentioned earlier how, you know, we were told not to go into church because of the lightning bolt that will strike you, or the fire that will consume you. But honestly, I think that the greater reality, and I'm just going to say this for me, I'm not speaking for you or anybody else, but I know I was in a place in my life, you know, where I wasn't going to church. This would have been back in 2004. And frankly, I didn't want to step into a church because, because of the damage of what we come out of. And I didn't want to, I mean, the big questions for me were, what will I have to do? What will they tell me I can and can't do? And, you know, and I was at a place in my life at that time, and I had, let's see, we had three children by that time, but still I was taking care of my children and working and being a wife. But you know what? I became dependent on alcohol. And I thought, well, if I go to church, they're going to ask me to give that up. And I don't want to give that up. And I was still, you know, going out with people and just partying it up. And it was not good. It was not good for me. But I remember going, well, what am I going to have to do? What am I going to have to give up? And frankly, I was being selfish because I didn't want to give anything up. I was, you know, coming out from being under so much control. I didn't want to give that up. I didn't want someone to tell me what I could and couldn't do. And I didn't want someone to now tell me that I had to believe in this or I had to believe in that. And so for me, that was really, I don't know, a crutch. I don't really know what to call it, an excuse as to why I wasn't stepping into a church, because I didn't want to, be told what to do. I didn't want to have to submit to or come under or listen to anybody. And because I felt I was living life just fine and I was managing things just fine, and I wasn't about to let someone dictate and tell me what to do. And so that was just more of the reality of why I didn't step into a church for a very long time. But when I did, a lot of things changed. You know, when you can accept, become a follower of Christ Jesus, and what happens is when the Spirit comes in, you just want to, out of gratitude of heart, humbleness of heart, love in your heart for understanding what Christ did, not only as him as your Savior, but as you make him Lord of your life, you desire to want to do what he has for you, what he has planned for you. And those things change, and there's things that you just that fall off, you shake off, you just don't want anymore, as you become more and more in a relationship with him. So I just share that because that's just the honest truth with me when it came to entering into a church. But I'm going to see if I can get this audio to work. If it does, well, then you can listen to it. And if not, then I don't know. We'll see what other direction we're going to go tonight. So let's just see if this will work.
Out of one of those ministries comes a sweet lady. I got to hear her story on New Year's Eve, and I think it floored everybody in the room. It blessed everybody in the room. And our hearts broke with her in the process of all the stuff she's been through. But it caused us to unite with her. She is a woman of God, and she is going to share her story. It'll take about 7 minutes, so just brace up, encourage her, and bless her. But Deborah St. John, if you'd come forward and just share your story with us.
Hello, everybody. My name is Deborah, and I'm a believer and a disciple in Jesus Christ. When Pastor Mike asked me to give my testimony, I said, "How long would you like my testimony to be?" And he said, "Oh, about 5 minutes." And I sat here and I thought, wow, how do I give 5 minutes and explain God's glory? So if I go over that 5 minutes, bear with me. As with any testimony, there can be tears. It's rough to recall. I did see a box of Kleenex up here, so go ahead and join in with me and if I do. I'd like to start my testimony with my life verse, which is Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." To some, my brief testimony may seem unfathomable, but I'm here to tell you that with God, all things are possible. As with any testimony, there are tears, as I said, so bear with me if mine start to flow. I look back on life, and thanks for those anonymous prayer warriors who have followed me through life and vigilantly prayed on my behalf. I didn't come from a family of prayers. In fact, my siblings and I spent the early years of our childhood in and out of foster homes as we were products of a dysfunctional alcoholic home. The story starts upon my birth in North Hollywood, California, and continues in the heart of Green Bay, Wisconsin. I got married at the age of 18, as like any teenagers, I deemed it was true love. It ended in divorce 11 years later, and I took on the role of single parenting as best I knew how. We lacked money, but we didn't lack heart or perseverance. I remember my two boys and I pulling our little red wagon down the streets, picking up pop cans to earn money in order to be able to do laundry. I worked full-time while putting myself through a couple years of college and tried to maintain a normal home as best I could. God always seemed to meet our needs, even though, unfortunately, I rarely acknowledged that it was Him. Tragedy struck in 2005. When my oldest son, then age 27, became lost in the woods while he was out on a hunting trip. 3 weeks later, he was found on the bank of the river, deceased from an accidental drug overdose. Excuse me. Midway through the year, I wound up in the hospital for a week as my organs had started to shut down because I wasn't eating or sleeping. Not by my choice, but just because I didn't know how to get over the grief. Even though I accepted Christ as my Savior in 1987, I just couldn't seem to envision why God would allow this to happen. I spent countless hours in anxiety and worry about how to go forward and how to stay strong for my second son. I attended a program called Grief Share not once but twice in an attempt to understand and process my grief. After a few months of counseling, I learned how to eat and sleep again and returned to my full-time job. A little over a year after my first son's passing, I received a call at work. My second son had overdosed. When I arrived at the emergency room, I was told he had flatlined for approximately 7 minutes. But the good news was that he was breathing with the help of a ventilator and he had brain function. And I praise God for that. As his lifeless body lay there, I prayed for a miracle. I kept thinking to myself, seriously, does God really think I'm strong enough to go through this again? The pastor and his wife of a church I was attending at the time came to the emergency room and prayed with me over my son. Many minutes later, I sat in disbelief as his lifeless body started to move. He choked and then he proceeded to yank the breathing tube out of his throat. It all happened so fast. Here was the miracle I had asked and prayed for. And I think judging by the look on the doctor's face that he was in shock as well. I'd never experienced anything like this. And all I knew was that nobody could ever make me question God's existence again. I felt a sigh of relief in knowing that God was in control. To him be the glory. As we ventured the path of life, much to my disbelief, the struggle remained. Over the course of the next few years, my son took part in several rehab programs and stayed at rehab facilities. With each one, my anxiety grew when he went back to using again. I tried to plan his days and every move in an attempt to stop this addiction. I came to learn later on that this is what is called codependency, and I was a master of it. Tragedy struck once again in 2012 when I found him unresponsive on my bathroom floor from an accidental drug overdose. A parent's worst nightmare had unfolded again. Excuse me. A parent's worst nightmare had unfolded again. He was in intensive care for several days. And then life as we knew it resumed as it had been before. The substance abuse continued until he became incarcerated in a prison rehab facility a short time later. God's word says in Philippians 4:6, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." I prayed for God to show me where to go from here. It was then that I first stepped into Living Hope Church and was loved on, and I received godly counsel. God uses his people as vessels to effect change, and his word brings comfort to the brokenhearted. These vessels are such people as the pastors of Living Hope Church, people like Kathy Boncher, Julie Zahn, Mike and Chris Wilbert, Luke and Billy Kotecki, Ralph Luciano, and many others who never tired from hearing my story, but yet were always available to pray me through the tears. The beautiful music from Pastor James and Jill Koshin ministered to a troubled heart many a Sunday church service. I give God all the glory for my new family, as I truly have found my home. After attending church for a couple months, I found that there was a program starting called Celebrate Recovery. I attended my first meeting in January 2015 and have been going ever since. I've learned so many valuable things while working on my hurts, habits, and hang-ups. I think in all general terms, this makes me a lifer. I plan on continuing, but this go-round, I plan to continue as God's vessel. I'm happy to say that my son is attending church and Celebrate Recovery regularly and of his own free will. He has now been sober for over a year, and I'm proud of the God-loving man he's become. Thank you. I'm very proud of the God-loving man he has become. I recall Pastor James' eloquent words one day when he said, "It's okay, Mom, you can let go. God's got him now." Can I hear a big amen for that? I'm not here to say that all struggles are removed just because you're walking the path. As God's word tells us, there will be trials while on this earth. But what I am here to tell you is that through it all, I found that God infuses purpose and hope with suffering. Success is defined as diligently seeking and walking with Him. It's like a fine jewel in that it needs to be refined in order to shine. In Matthew 11:28, it says, "Come to me, all you who are wearied and burdened, and I will give you rest." I say let go and let God, because with God all things are possible. Thank you for allowing me to share my testimony, and may all of you diligently continue to seek Him, because the best is yet to come. Thank you.
Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you for that testimony. Thank you for that story. The willingness to share. Now, Holy Spirit, I ask that you speak through me. Your words, not my own. In Jesus' name. Amen. I have a really good message for you. But I think I'm going to give it to you next week. That story seems so big, and it is. But there was a time when that was a rare story. It's all too prevalent today. I see that all the time. Not with all the same facets, but generally speaking, I see that story. And I am blessed that in this church, we rise up as a community. That's really what happened. To speak into a woman's life. And to go from speaking into the woman's life to speaking into her son's life. And that's our call. You know, we put something up on the board. It says, "Welcome to your mission field," and it's kind of cool. It's a reference for us that what we're supposed to do. more than a reference of what we're supposed to do, the reality of what we must do is to step outside the doors and reach people who are really in big number with those kinds of struggles, with those kinds of issues, with that kind of hurt, pain. Because nobody will do it like you will. Nobody will pour into them like we will. Now, she gave God the glory, and all glory goes to God. The glory goes to God. She was really clear. But His desire is to work through us to accomplish His great purpose. And God is birthing up people all over this room to do this very thing. To see that which is broken by a world system, a failed system. To see it. And then to walk in that direction so that you can have effect, great effect. They're rising up. I can almost laugh because of what God is doing. It gives me joy. People passionate to heal. They see physically broken people. They want to go fix it. Some see intellectually broken people, and they passionately want to go fix it. Some see dead people, and they want to go save them from their death. I'm talking spiritually dead people. And God just continues to stir. Some see broken families, and their heart makes them want to go reach out to heal families. Some see homeless families, and their desire is to go reach out to the homeless families. Some see the homeless individuals, and their desire is to go chase down people who are homeless, that they could speak life to those people. Some see their neighbor and unrelentingly go after their neighbor because they know. They proclaim the glory of God. They proclaim the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the way to salvation to take them out of this life. That's the vision for the church. That's what we're called to do. And the reason why those scripted words are on the inside of the church, because it's on the way out. As we're on our way out is when the work begins. That's the heart. In Matthew chapter 25, when Jesus is about the business of separating the sheep from the goats. It's a really cool chapter. He begins to tell the sheep why they're the sheep. And he says, because you clothed me, you fed me, you visited me, you gave me food, you gave me drink. I watched Pastor Donnie and Pastor Tim do that throughout the week. And they respond to him and they say, when did we do those things? Jesus, we didn't see you. When did we give you drink? And he says, whenever you've done it to the least of these, you have done it to me. Those are powerful words. And if we think in terms of not about ourselves, but that every time we step out, reach out, and we go to the dead people, we go to the physically broken, the intellectually broken, the emotionally broken people, it's as though we're doing it unto Christ Himself. That's how He views it. That's how His economy works. That's how God works. That's our call. It's to go. And it's the church that God has called to do this. It's us. one of the most awesome things, but one of the saddest things to me is when I hear of the masses of people coming to Christ because of dreams and vision. He takes matters into His own hands to accomplish His purposes. But His design was for us to do that. And it's sad in the sense that we miss what God is doing through us. I don't want to miss that. I don't want to miss it. We have a student, and he was in the news. Most of you probably saw him. He graduated from high school. He had brain cancer. I just shared this the other day. And he was a student of mine, but he was also in our youth group. He was in the back. And so I got a call from one of the teachers I worked with, and they said, "Hey, you need to go see this kid. He's asking to see you." Okay. So I went to the hospice center in De Pere, and I went to see him. And oh my goodness, he recognized me, which is a big deal because they've taken out part of his brain and he doesn't remember well. But he recognized me right away. And the work was so unbelievably easy. I was just going to go in there and give him love. And my desire was that he would come to know Jesus. Just kind of want to make sure. So that's why I went there. And I go in there and I'm talking to him. He remembered me. And it's very clear that he had all these surgeries. And he's kind of remembering things and not. And I said, "Kirk, would you like me to, can I pray with you?" "Oh, that's why I wanted you here, so you could pray with me." Well, that was so easy. So I prayed with him. And there were nurses running in and out, and that was fine. I just prayed. It was easy because he was so receptive. And I said, "Kirk, do you know where you're going or what's going to happen?" And he was really kind of in and out on that. He said, "I can't remember. I forgot," or whatever. I said, "Can we talk about you and Jesus and him coming into your life? You inviting him in and giving your life over to him. Is it okay to talk about it?" He said, "That's really why I wanted you to come." Oh my goodness, it's like on a platter. The only thing left to do was either drop it or do it. So I said, "So what do you want?" he's done all the work to this point. You might as well finish it. "What do you want?" He said, "I want that. I want Jesus. I want him to be the Lord." So you ask him. You say, "Jesus, be my Lord." "Well, yeah, Jesus, be my Lord. Come into my life." And we lead him in a prayer of salvation. When you come prepared, when you come ready to be about God's business and you go to the places he calls you to go, you just go ready because you spend time in him, opportunities are going to come. Sometimes God serves them on a platter and he brings the people through the doors coming from the outside in, and we're blessed as a church to be able to reach out to those people. That's a blessing. I think that's an encouragement for us. But the direction was to go out. The direction was to go out into this community to affect change.
Okay, I'm going to stop the message right there. I hope you're still with me. I see some of you still are. So you might be wondering why I played that. The reason why I played that is because in reference to the grass greener on the other side, for me, the greener grass is what you heard. That's what I get to experience, what I get to hear when I go to church on a Sunday. That is Pastor Mike, our senior pastor at the church that I go to, Living Hope. And again, when I heard that Sunday message a few weeks back, I was sitting there again going, "I wish you could hear this." And then I thought, "Oh, maybe I can have you hear this." And I asked Pastor Mike if it was okay for me to play a portion of the message for you. And so why? why did I play that? Why did I want you to hear that? Because when you ask yourself the question, should I go back to the Kingdom Hall? And you and that taunting voice in your head is saying, well, I can't go to church because of this or that. I want you to know that, number one, the church is not perfect. And I believe growing up as a Jehovah's Witness and going to the Kingdom Hall, we were to exemplify perfection. And really, we weren't. The church is not perfect because the church is, we're all humans. We all make mistakes. We all fall. We're all going to disappoint each other at some point or another. But that's why there's forgiveness and why we exercise forgiveness. And I played that because one of the testimony of the mom in the beginning, and my thought was, here her two sons, the one passed away of a drug overdose, and the second son, his overdoses that he had. And look, here is the mom who could honestly and openly say, you know, she had at one point troubles eating and sleeping. Going to the Kingdom Hall, that would have been deemed as weak because you wouldn't have been able to keep up with the demands of going door to door or preparing your talks. And here's a mother and her son, her one son in the audience, and she asks him to stand up so that we can applaud this individual. And like she said, glory to God for what God has done. And we know that would never happen. Those kinds of things, being having a drug overdose or being a drug addict, those are things you get disfellowshipped for. Those are things that you get kicked out for. And as she went on with her testimony, and she listed the numerous people that she said loved on her, they never tired of hearing her story, no matter how many times she told it over and over again. They never tired of it. They shed tears with her as she went through it. She sought out counsel. She said she was given godly counsel, godly wisdom. Those are things that I believe that should you go back to the Kingdom Hall, you are not going to find. And I would love for you to experience what I get to experience. Go and look. Go and find a healthy church, one that will, like she said, she was broken in spirit, and Pastor Mike had said, those that are broken in spirit and those that are broken in family, those are the ones that we need to come alongside and let them know that God's got you, and that we're here to support you. We're here to speak life into you, and that life is Jesus. So the grass being greener on the other side is this. This is what I've found. This is what I've been blessed to have in my life every day of the week. And like he said, Pastor Mike had said to her, you know, thank you for the willingness to share. And would that ever happen? You know the answer to that. Would that ever happen in the Kingdom Hall? No. We can be broken, and we can be well, and we can be healed, and then we can go back, and we can help those that have come from a place that we've come from a place that we understand, a place where you can be fully loved and fully accepted, where you can read God's word and understand it fully and completely, because the Spirit will guide you in that. So I share that with you because God, in all his love and in all his effort, gives and to redeem, to buy you back. And that's what I want for you. So should I go back to the Kingdom Hall? No. No, you shouldn't. Should you begin to look on the other side of that fence where the grass is greener. Yeah. I'd like to see you jump. I'd like to see you take a leap of faith. I'd like you to come and experience and know who Jesus is. To be loved on and cared by him first and foremost, and others that are following Christ as well. So that's what I have for you tonight. If you want to share anything or say anything, please hit number one, and I will watch for that. And but if you don't have anything to say, then we will close up another night here, and just a couple notes. We'll be back together on the 23rd. I may have an interview to bring on air. I'm waiting for confirmation on that. And we do have some interviews coming up March, April, May. And as I get those dates solidified with people, I'll make you aware of that. And we'll get back to doing those as well. So in closing tonight, again, I just want you to come to know really the truth of who God is and how compassionate and gracious he is. Scripture tells us that he is compassionate and that he is gracious and that he's slow to anger and that he is abounding in love. And he will be faithful to you. I ask that you give God another chance, another opportunity. Give him maybe your first opportunity to just get to know him. And it's an amazing journey. I'm not going to say it's an easy journey. There are obstacles, and I've said that before. But I want you to know that he will make things right for you in his timing, and he will make you new. And he'll make all things new for you. But it's a matter of coming to him. And, you know, even in that woman's testimony tonight that she shared, she gave the one scripture that reads, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything pray." Pray to God about everything. And he tells us, you know, "Come to me, all who are weary." This wearisome question, should I go back to the Kingdom Hall? Bring it to him. He'll answer you very clearly on that one. So I want to thank you again for joining me tonight. I appreciate you. As always, I am for you, but greater yet, God is for you. He will never turn away from you. You are not alone. I hope that tonight's message was encouraging to you and blessed you. I know it blessed me. That message blessed me. So I hope it did the same for you as well. Have a good rest of the night. Happy Valentine's Day. That's coming up on Sunday. So I look forward to being back here with you on the 23rd. Again, possibly an interview. Not quite sure, but I'll be posting it out on Facebook, whatever it is that we're going to do that night on the 23rd. So blessings to you. Take care, and we'll see you on February 23rd. Good night.